You're listening to The Back 40, the podcast for Ontario farmers, covering topics and issues that matter most to Ontario agriculture. Brought to you by Trillium Mutual Insurance, bringing the ag community together one podcast at a time. I'm the host of The Back 40, Mike Brine, agribusiness specialist at Trillium Mutual Insurance. Farmers are used to facing a lot of different risks on their farm, whether it be from markets or from the weather. In recent years, we've seen a lot more concern about security on farm. Certainly from a physical security standpoint, there's been quite a bit in the news about unwanted guests coming on farms in various spots. Biosecurity has been something that has been top of mind, certainly in the hog and poultry industries for a lot of years. But one thing that is coming more to the front than it has been is cybersecurity on farms. Many farmers don't consider that to be very much of a risk, and yet it's becoming more and more big business for people to find targets and attack them. Today, we're talking with Mark Bevan. Mark is the founder and president of EthoGuard, a full-service security provider for Ontario farms. Mark, welcome to the Back 40.
Thank you very much, Mike.
For our listeners that don't know who Mark Bevan is, could you give us a bit of an introduction and tell us a little bit about EthoGuard?
Certainly. I've been in the agricultural sector here in Ontario for, close to 30 years now. My former experience was prevalent in the poultry industry. Some of the listeners may remember me from my days at Egg Farmers of Ontario. I used to be the director of operations and spent a few years at the national level with the Canadian Animal Health Coalition. And that's kind of was my first exposure to the issue of cybersecurity, actually. So I've got lots of experience in the biosecurity world, but sitting on the National Critical Infrastructure Committee in Ottawa, I was exposed to the issue of cybersecurity and the real risk that it presents. Back in the fall, I guess, I'd started kind of planning something in my head for a company that was kind of all-encompassing when it comes to security in agriculture. So yeah, created EthoGuard. And you know, we describe ourselves as best as a comprehensive security company that provides solutions in biosecurity, cybersecurity, and facility and asset security. So we have a range of technology solutions and we are always looking to create more. I am not a cybersecurity expert per se, but I do have a team behind me that are. Cyber is definitely something that we're trying to get out there and make the community aware of the many risks that it presents.
So a lot of farmers are going to say, well, I have antivirus on my computer, I have anti-spam, I keep it up to date. I'm covered. I shouldn't have any issues here. Why would someone engage someone like a company like yours in order to help them?
Actually, I wish that was the case. That was the answer we got, because that would be at least some protection. Fortunately, the number one answer we get when talking to either producers or agribusinesses is when asking about cybersecurity, well, their internet service provider looks after that, don't they? Unfortunately, that's not really the case. The issue really comes down to, first of all, antivirus and anti-malware on your computer is definitely a step in the right direction. But when it comes right down to it, actually 95% of all successful cyber attacks are due to human error. Basically, somebody let the cyber criminal in the front door. Unknowingly, they've clicked on a phishing email or they visited a site that had malware on it. So unfortunately, the antivirus protection on the computer itself is just a small component of the entire, risk management chain. Just like foot baths are just one component of a total biosecurity protection package.
I've worked in the agricultural industry, in the livestock industry. I worked there for quite a few years as a feed rep. And I always said that biosecurity is more a way of thinking than it is a series of procedures and tools. And cybersecurity is much the same way, isn't it?
Thankfully, the industry over the last 25, 30 years has come such a long way when it comes to biosecurity. I can remember being back in my days at Egg Farmers of Ontario, being one of those biosecurity evangelists. We were really pushing the idea of you need to improve and increase your biosecurity procedures and protection to prevent the issue of foreign animal disease or avian influenza or African swine fever coming on your farm. And thankfully, the industry responded. And that's why, while it's definitely still a threat out there, we're able to mitigate that risk in terms of animal diseases. The exact same thing is the case when it comes to cybersecurity. Producers and agribusinesses, they need to try and mitigate that risk by putting in a series of different protections in place. And by doing that, they are lowering their risk considerably. And that's what it comes down to. I mean, we may, it's just, again, similar to animal disease, you may never be able to eliminate the risk, but it's all about risk reduction. And that's the same thing when it comes to cyber.
I think that a lot of farmers think that the biggest protection that they have is that they're not a target, that we haven't seen and we don't see attacks in the agricultural industry. And they really don't have that much of an exposure. But as farms become more and more connected, they're big business and they're just as much a target as a business in downtown Toronto, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. So first of all, we rely on stats in a lot of cases to really direct how we protect things. A lot of people think that cyber only affects the real big companies, right? You know, the large international companies, because those are the ones we hear in the news, right? We don't hear about the small businesses, you know, being attacked. But in actual fact, over 60% of cyber crime is actually against small businesses. In terms of agriculture itself, there has definitely been an increase in the amount of cybercrime activity against agriculture. I think traditionally ag was overlooked because I don't think the bad actors realize how much the financial, you know, reward was there in agriculture. But agriculture now is big business, and that's become apparent to these bad actors. The other issue with ag is there is a lot of technology. We've seen a dramatic increase in technology on farm in the last 10, 20 years. All that IoT or Internet of Things that we have on farms, each one of those is a potential access point to the farm, to the network that allows threat actors, you know, to gain access. I coined the phrase that basically agriculture is overexposed and underprotected when it comes to cyber. We've got all kinds of technology and all kinds of exposure, but unfortunately, we haven't followed that up with protection and the security in place. We're out there trying to increase the awareness in ag, and hopefully through that, we can definitely reduce the risk. Interestingly enough, one cybersecurity company, they actually listed agriculture in terms of ransomware attacks. Agricultural is actually listed in their top five. It's actually number three on their list.
If it is starting to become so prevalent there, why don't we hear anything about it in the news?
The news is looking at the big multinational companies. That's where the real news comes from. But in terms of agriculture and any sector for that matter, a lot of people don't like to admit that they got attacked. It's the same again with, you know, we all have those phone scams. People are getting constantly contacted by whether it be CRA or whoever that's, you know, pretending to be. Everybody's like, well, no, I would never fall for one of those. Well, unfortunately, people do. And they're embarrassed by it because that's why those phone scams are happening, because they work, unfortunately. Interestingly enough, I actually just had a conversation with somebody last night. Now, thankfully, they caught it at the last minute that they were getting scammed. It is happening. And it is the same with cyber. You know, companies are getting attacked. I do know in the last year of a number of agricultural incidents from shut down for 3 days because of a ransomware attack. I know an attempted ransomware attack that was in the news a year or so ago against an agricultural retailer. There was a farmer out in Saskatchewan. They lost a few $100,000 out of their operating account. I know of an equipment dealer that basically sent over $100,000 to what they call a man in the middle attack, basically where somebody intercepted an e-transfer for a piece of equipment. So it is happening in ag.
So what type of attacks and what types of things can happen to a farming operation these days? So you mentioned ransomware on computers, but that's not the only thing that we can see happen to it, is it?
No, I mean, there's a number of different methods that the actors use. In terms of the actual attack, yeah, ransomware is definitely one of the, it's the largest. I think it's right now around 60% of all cyber attacks are utilizing a ransomware methodology. What happens is a threat actor comes in and he either steals confidential information or he locks up your network and basically demands you to pay him an X amount of dollars before he gives you the key to unlock your system or before he gives you your confidential information back. The average ransom right now is increasing every day. I think last I seen a few months ago, it was up to $160,000. Most businesses to take a $160,000 hit is extremely difficult. And that does not count the cost of actually, they try and beat the attack. They try and unlock their system or try and figure out a way of dealing with it. Another interestingly stat, which was remarkable to me. It's about 3% of the companies that suffer ransomware attacks in the United States are willing to pay the ransom. In Canada, that number is 77%. I couldn't believe that, actually. And what it says to me is we throw our hands up and we're actually, you know, saying, okay, here you go. And another stat, 50% of small businesses that suffer a ransomware attack are no longer operating in 6 months. They just can't withstand the financial hit that they take. There's many other attacks. As I said, the man in the middle where transfer of funds is intercepted. Another one is through phishing emails where somebody may pretend to actually be the CEO of a company. An email goes to the accounting department. I need you to send X amount of dollars for this invoice to such and such an account. Meanwhile, it wasn't actually the CEO giving those instructions. So there's many different ways. And as I said, 95% of them comes down to human error. And that's something we can definitely change.
You said people spend some time trying to beat the attack before they pay. But if you're dealing with something like a livestock operation, you've got a minimal amount of time. I was through a brand new barn a few years ago, dairy barn, robotic milkers, robotic feeding system, everything hooked into the computer on it. And I looked at the system there and I thought, it's a beautiful barn. It's a great idea. It cuts down on labor. But if somebody put a cyber attack out on this, I don't know how you'd milk your cows, and I don't know how you'd feed them because there isn't room to get a feed wagon down in that alleyway. You've got a minimal amount of time to get things back up and running again.
That's an unfortunate reality. I think the average time now to get your system back and going is around 2 weeks now. And again, I don't know many companies that can withstand to be, you know, basically down for 2 weeks, an unfortunate reality. And I want to also apologize because I don't want to scare people. I mean, I don't want to use fear to raise that awareness. I mean, this is just a strict reality, unfortunately, that is out there. But thankfully, as I said, and we'll get to that, I'm sure, later in the conversation, but there are many ways that we can mitigate that risk and improve our security.
Yes. In the meantime, this is big business. The prevalence of cyber attacks and the amount of money that they're taking is huge, too. I mean, there's a lot of dollars that are spent combating and paying off on cyber attacks now, aren't there?
And it's increasing exponentially. In 2015, cost of cybercrime to the world economy was $500 billion. Presently today, it's $500 billion a month. We're going to be hitting $6 trillion cost to the world economy in 2021. I mean, it's huge, huge cost that everybody is unfortunately having to pay. And again, that's why it's out there. You have teams, you have office buildings fully furnished with literally hundreds, if not thousands, of hackers. That's all they do all day long. They're constantly roaming and looking for businesses and individuals to attack, to either gain access to intellectual property, to gain financial, of course, the number one reason, but there's many others. Another thing in terms of agriculture that is, I think, very unique to the sector, it's no secret that there are special interest groups out there that would like to see, you know, our full demise, the industry's full demise, whether it be some of the very radical animal rights activists or, you know, some of the anti-GMO or whatever. I mean, this is, again, a reality to our sector. That's a unique threat actor out there that agriculture faces. So we're not only exposed to those hackers that are trying to gain financially, we're also exposed to cyber crime individuals that are trying to do harm to our industry.
Do you like what you're hearing from the Back 40? We'd like to hear from you. Send us an email with your comments and thoughts to theback40@trilliummutual.com or follow us on social media at Trillium Mutual. So a lot of farmers are going to argue, first off, as you said, that, you know, somebody else is protecting me or my software is going to protect me. But if the biggest risk that people face or that farmers face is the people, and that 95% of the attacks, somebody let them in the front door, how do we go about protecting ourselves and how do we go about preventing those types of attacks?
The easiest and most cost-effective way for a company, you know, an individual, a farmer, whatever it be, is simply increasing the awareness and training of the users, of the employees. Make sure that your employees are aware about cyber risk. Thankfully, there's lots of programs out there. We have one at EthoGuard. We think is a phenomenal online training program that increases the awareness and educates all the employees of the company. And with our program, it actually tests them as well. We actually have a lot of fun with this. And And the cyber team, they actually send out simulated phishing emails to a company's employees that have engaged with us. A phishing email is basically a fake email. Somebody's pretending to be somebody that they're not, and they're trying to get you to do something, click on a link to activate malware or ransomware attack. So yeah, we send actually out simulated phishing emails to the company's employees that have engaged with us to test them. And we do that constantly throughout the year. The guys, they get quite innovative and inventive when it comes to trying to trick some of the users, because that's what the hackers are doing. Interestingly enough, before they start an awareness program like ours, 43% of the employees actually fall for these phishing emails. They fall for the simulated phishing emails. After 1 year's of training, that number drops down to 3%. That really shows you the benefit of cybersecurity awareness training when it comes down to you can reduce your risk that much. That's a high risk. When you have 43% of your company's employees that are unknowingly potentially letting a hacker come into your network and do harm, that's a considerable risk. Definitely encourage all your listeners to investigate and research the issue of how do I get my employees trained on cybersecurity? Because that is definitely the most cost-effective number one way to increase your protection.
I can think of two objections that are going to come up to that. One is that while I don't have any real exposure with my employees dealing with computers, the other is that it sounds awfully expensive to get something like that brought on farm there.
I'll answer the second part first. In terms of cost, the cost in my mind is definitely minimal when compared to the risk. For example, I mean, our platform, you know, can be less than $70 per employee for a whole year of training and testing. I mean, that's a very worthwhile investment right there. In terms of your employees not having really no risk because they may not be on the computer, well, that's not so accurate either. Unfortunately, most farms have Wi-Fi. Employees have their phones running through the farm's Wi-Fi. That's an access point, unfortunately. Phones are being hacked. You were talking about the antivirus and anti-malware on your computer. Very few of us have endpoint protection on our phones, and yet they are at risk by having your employees, you know, even in the innocent use of company's Wi-Fi. But if they're using the system, if they've got email addresses that are, you know, they're on your laptops or your company's computers, then there's definitely a large risk there.
And especially when we talk family farms, a lot of times the labor is supplied by family members, by spouses, by children. It really is a true family event there. That's something that we sometimes forget. That's an access point too. The kids use the Wi-Fi, and certainly during COVID, where we've all been kind of told to go to our rooms and kids are schooling online, that's a place where people can get in as well. And there's a benefit to having everybody in your family trained as well.
That's exactly it. I mean, because of COVID, we've had a dramatic increase of companies' employees working from home, working remotely. That has increased the risk that these companies are facing because they may not have a complete protection when they are working from home. So hate to keep hitting this at this point, but it really does come down to awareness and training of the individual. Definitely the number one way we can increase the protection.
So if people make up the majority of the problems here, they're certainly not the only risk that businesses will face. I know when it comes to security on my computer, one of the things that probably bugs me the most is all the different passwords that I have collected for various different applications. And it gets to be a bit of a pain, but that's maybe something that is quite important and maybe more important than a lot of us give it credit for.
Passwords are definitely one of the important things that we must do. I can give you a little advice to the listeners on passwords. First of all, don't use the dog's name. and I was guilty of that myself years ago, you know, back in the first days of the internet in the mid 90s. I used my password for pretty much everything. Thankfully, I've progressed from that. It drives everybody nuts when, you know, you have to make these passwords that are now they're a combination of letters and numbers and symbols and capitals and trying to remember all those. I would encourage your listeners to actually maybe try and think of a system. Use password phrases even. So a sentence. Most systems, for example, they recognize the space between words, they actually classify that as a symbol. So you can actually just write a sentence and that would meet the requirement for capital, letters, symbols, In terms of numbers, you can throw a number in there as well. So my dog Tammy liked to eat 10 bones. I mean, whatever it may be, that's not one of them. So hackers out there, don't try and use it. Passwords definitely is something that you got to come up with that are, they're complex enough, so they're hard to break, but they're easy enough for you to remember. In addition to that though, how do you make sure you remember it? You can use password keepers. There's reputable password keepers online, or, I mean, you can write them down and you make sure that book is kept safe in case you can't remember them. Thankfully though, the worst case is if you do forget it, you can always reset it. And then again, use another phrase or password, you know, that you can come up with. The last thing is too, that I should remember, passwords are like underwear. You don't share them with other people and you change them frequently. And that's part of that system. You maybe do it every 6 months or a year, you change your passwords. Change that password phrase. That's an idea that your listeners can take home and try and come up with a system that they'll be able to remember, but at the same time, make it complex.
Not a bad idea to save those passwords or keep them more than one spot. I can recall a computer program that I had password protected and I didn't go into it very often. And I moved desks and somewhere along the lines, I lost the little slip of paper that had the password on it. And that was more than a little bit annoying. But by the time I got that one cracked.
And as we were talking before we came live here, my wife, she's an elementary school teacher, and for whatever reason, we had a technology crisis here just before we came to live, and that was what it was. She had to update something and she couldn't remember the password to whatever she needed to update while trying to teach gym to 6 and 7 year olds. So I'm sure you can, you know, listeners can appreciate the stress level at that point.
Yes, I know the frustration of forgetting a password is huge, but the frustration that you're going to get if somebody is able to get through a weak password is going to be even more so.
That's exactly it.
What are some of the other points where you can see access other than just the people?
So training is definitely number one. The endpoint protection, so that antivirus and anti-malware that we were talking about earlier, is definitely, that's kind of like the second line of defense. Your people are definitely in the number one line. Now, the issue with endpoint protection is we have to make sure it's updated as well. The patches, you know, updates are put on that protection. I know it's annoying, but you get those notifications on your computer saying your antivirus needs to be updated. I know most people probably say, oh, I'll do that later. Remind me tomorrow to do that. No, do it when they tell you, because it unfortunately gets forgotten. And so you want to make sure that patches and updates have been put into your antivirus and anti-malware protection software. Make sure it is installed on all your devices, your laptops, your desktops, your tablets, and your phone. The third line of defense that we talk about is backups. You need to make sure your data and information is backed up. So in case first line and second line unfortunately fail or whatever reason, and somebody does get into your system, you want to be able to make sure that you have your information data backed up as most recently as possible so you can get back into business as soon as possible. Farming operations can't withstand a, you know, 2 or 3 week downtime. So by having reliable backup, it's definitely going to get you back into business as soon as possible. Even consider multiple backups, actually. So you have a cloud-based backup, so it's actually stored in the cloud, but you also have a remote backup, actually hardware.
I remember one of my customers when I was selling feed used to do a backup on a regular basis. And it was something at that time, not very few of us did properly, but he had a computerized feeding system and he had his financial records in the house and he used to back each of them up on an external hard drive every week. And then he would switch the hard drive. So he'd take the one from the house to the barn and the one from the barn to the house. Now he was thinking a lot about fire and other things that could happen, systems crashing there to protect himself. And we didn't worry as much about cyber when you go back that far. But there's more problems that can happen other than just a cyber attack. You can have a computer system crash. And if you don't have a backup, you've lost all that data.
That's correct. That's what, as I said, you want to consider having one in the cloud as well as, a remote device as well. And again, that kind of goes back to the whole concept of EthoGuard is all these risk points, they're definitely interrelated. Biosecurity is definitely related to facility security, for example. And it can actually be related to cybersecurity as well. So, I mean, they're all interrelated. So that's why we've come up with this concept of EthoGuard, a fully comprehensive company that is able to address all the security challenges and risks that agriculture sector faces.
So you list yourselves as a full service security company. And as you were talking there about the physical security of the buildings and the biosecurity and the cybersecurity. So if someone engages your company to assist with security on their farm, what sort of services can they expect to get from you?
In terms of cyber, we've got all those solutions that I've talked about, whether it be the training, the endpoint protection, or the backups. We also do the custom cyber services. We're there in case you do get attacked. Trust me, we much prefer dealing with companies doing the preventative maintenance, the training and the endpoint protection and backups. That's where we really enjoy helping out clients, because in case of an actual attack, the stress level goes up tremendously. We'd prefer dealing with clients on a happier time. In terms of biosecurity, we've got a range of equipment and cleaning and disinfection equipment. You know, we're a newer company on the biosecurity, newer company all around. So we're actually in talks with some different companies in regards to chemistries for cleaning and disinfection. On the facility and asset security, we have a great range of devices there from fleet management and GPS tracking of assets to address the rural crime issue. We're actually just launched an on-farm data management system that we call it EthoFarm, that is able to collect through sensors, remote sensors, a range of data. And again, that's where it's integrated with the cybersecurity as well. We want to make sure that the system that we're putting out is definitely secure as well. We're pretty active when it comes to all different kinds of the risks on farm. And I should also point out too, we focus on agriculture. When I talk about agriculture, it is the primary production, but it's also the agribusiness, the input suppliers, as well as the agri-food processors. For example, under COVID right now, we have a magic bracelet system that allows for farm workers to be able to be warned if they're within 2 meters of another individual. It monitors their temperature constantly. There's contact tracing there available. We're pretty proud of the different range of services and technologies that we have. And then at the same time, you know, we're looking for challenges. We are definitely looking for challenges, no matter what they are, to try and develop solutions for clients. That's something that we're really interested in. So we may not have the solution today, but let us know what the challenge is, and we can definitely try and come up with a solution for it.
When you talk about full service companies, you're often talking about not buying a series of products and services. It's more about a partnership of fitting the solution to that individual operation.
That's right. And we've got a team of individuals that have the expertise in the cyber, but we've also partnered with some world leaders when it comes to like the online training platform or the endpoint security and backup solutions. We've done our research and really partnered with some great companies to be able to, you know, and these companies have traditionally been offering the services to the large multinationals. And through us now, we're able to get these solutions down to the small operation size. We do believe in that kind of a concept where we're a partner to our client. And because of our partnerships above us, it's a great solution.
So if someone is interested in finding out more information about EthoGuard and possibly engaging your firm, how do they find out about your company?
On the web, www.ethoguard.com, ethoguard.com. They can reach me through, you know, my email is probably the easiest, and that's mbevan@ethoguard.com. That's mbevan. At ethoguard.com. You can find us on social media from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, just search under EthoGuard, and I'm sure you'll be able to find us.
Thanks very much for the conversation today. Hopefully our listeners are going to go away with a much better understanding of some of the risks surrounding their computer systems and different risks that they might face about that on farm. We've been talking to Mark Bevan from EthoGuard about cybersecurity risks in the agricultural industry. Join us next time when our guest will be Dr. Helen Hambly from the Regional and Rural Broadband Project, and we'll be talking about the state of broadband in rural Ontario.
You've been listening to The Back 40, brought to you by Trillium Mutual Insurance. Be sure to subscribe to The Back 40 wherever you find your favorite podcasts so that you don't miss an episode. The Back 40, bringing the ag community together one podcast at a time. I'm Mike Brine. Until next time, take care and stay safe.